You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
Razabani for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. Delighted to be joined on this very sunny day by Mr. Dave Kowa. Dave, firstly, how are we doing? How's the family?
Not too bad, thank you very much. It's a happier day today, isn't it? People are opening up businesses, shops and things like that are open. People can start, you know, hopefully cracking on a little bit, and let's get it all open. Let's get life back to normal. So, and the sun's shining, so it makes things so much better. It just seems a better day today. You know, new page, new chapter. So let's go.
I know over the last 10, 11, 12 months, we've spoken numerous times about life, public, people, what's going on. But, you know, obviously just want to give a big shout out to all those businesses that have been closed and up today. And hopefully they can get back to a bit of normality. May not happen straight away, but we wish them obviously all the best to succeed and carry on providing for the communities and their families.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. It's been a very, very, very tough time for a lot of people. And unfortunately, a lot of businesses haven't survived, you know, people I know of that have lost their businesses. But hopefully, once things get back to normal, people can get back on the ladder and you know, recreate something that once had, if they've lost it now, do you know what I mean? So fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Dave, I just want to go back to the weekend. We saw another great card of boxing promoted by Eddie Hearn and Matchroom. Conor Benn putting a devastating performance and sending a huge statement out. Firstly, did you expect him to finish off Samuel in round one?
No chance. I thought that was going to be a tough fight. I'll be honest, I thought he was going to win it, but I wouldn't have been shocked if he'd have struggled. I thought it would win it on points. I thought maybe he might have stopped him late, but I thought if he stops him, it's going to be a great statement. I thought it would be a statement if he stopped him. I certainly didn't expect him to go out there and just blow him away like that. He just got his timing on that jab straight away, let his punches go. Accuracy was unbelievable. The snapping the shots was brilliant. And it caught Vargas right, bounced his head around and got the stoppage. It was a really, really good performance. Really was.
Vargas did an interview with Sky Sports later on and he said, listen, I haven't even had a shower. I'm going back home. Like the fight shouldn't have been stopped. He said we were kind of just working each other out. Obviously that wasn't the case because it looked like he was quite hurt. But knowing how Vargas is as a fighter, someone who takes punches and gives punches, standing count maybe referee could have given.
But there's no standing count in there. The ropes, it wasn't the ropes that kept him up. I think there was a camera angle that we saw on TV that was kind of similar to what the ref's angle was. I think the ref's at this angle and we're looking at their ref stood there. And you see the uppercut when he's on the ropes, and as he gets hit with the uppercut, his eyes sort of like go vacant, almost like to the back of his head sort of thing, as he sags. We've seen before where that same sort of shot, where you've seen him sag as the head bounces back, and the ref's not dived in and they've been cleaned out badly, and we've all jumped up and out and said, should have stopped the fight. He didn't need to take those last two punches or whatever. We've seen that. So when the ref's seen that viewpoint and his head bounces back and the eyes, it looked bad. So it did look like he was going to go in. I know as soon as he stopped him, then Vargas is like, woke up sort of thing, or, you know, he's all right and he wants to carry on as such. But he didn't put up too much of an argument in the ring. It's a difficult thing, isn't it? I think from that ref's viewpoint, from that camera angle that we saw, I agreed with the stoppage. But I understand how people can say, a little bit prematurely. But like I said, they're almost like in a no-win situation where if he'd have kept it going and he would have then got cleaned out, then it's like, well, you know. So it's very difficult in boxing, isn't it? Because sometimes the shot that Tyson Fury gets it with against Deontay Wilder, 9 times out of 10, ref just stands over the guy and just waves his hands off and waves the fight off. But he carries on counting and Tyson's motionless like that. You'd be looking and saying, what are you counting for? You know? But then he bounces up and rests his history. But you've got to, the referees have kind of got to make a call in that moment, specifically how they see it, how they feel what they're seeing. And I couldn't knock the ref for that, to be honest. But I can understand the other viewpoint as well. So
did we learn anything new about Connor?
No. So this is where it's very, very dangerous when you're developing a fighter. In my opinion, you're developing a fighter, this is his test. This is the test where you feel that, because Vargas's experience, he's been with Khan and all these other fighters, and his experience and his toughness and his work rate will come on down the line and things like that. You think that this could be a tough fight. All these questions that you feel are going to be asked of Connor, he beats him to it. He gets his shots in first before he's even asked those questions. So, again, it's only my opinion. And if I was thinking about one of my fighters, then those questions aren't being asked. That experience not being taken from Vargas, being in that ring, is not being taken. It just so happens that Conor Benn got his shots off first, was so accurate, so spiteful, and he looked so good in what he did, but he's still not experienced what we thought or what his team, by picking Vargas, would have hoped that he'd experienced before he steps up to the next level. So he's still, for me, experience-wise, still the same fighter that he went in before that fight. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for that reason, I would still want him to have another fight of that, like, same sort of opponent, same sort of questions that you would expect him to ask, you know, tough, rugged, you know, can take a shot, you know, gonna hit him back, gonna drag him into the trenches a little bit, but be a little bit smart, be a little bit cool. I don't know. Because they're talking, you know, I heard a couple of people talking about Porter. I think Johnny Nelson mentioned Porter and people like that. There's a big jump. Well, Johnny, that's a big jump.
Johnny said he beat Sean Porter today.
You see, I got a lot of time for Johnny and I like Johnny, but every so often it comes out with statements that I just thought, whoa, okay. And for me, that's a big jump. That is a big jump. It's boxing, so you can't say, oh, he's not going to beat Sean Porter. What I would say is that is a massive jump. It's a big statement to turn around and say, he beat Sean Porter. But we all do it. If you believe in your fighter, you believe in your fighter. You know, I believe that Bellew could beat Usyk. You know, he didn't. But I believe that Bellew could beat David Ayer. A lot of people thought we were talking shit, but he did. So you're gonna back your man, but you also have to understand what's there. And I don't feel as though Conor Benn yet has had that experience yet at that level. There's a big jump between a Vargas and a Sean Porter. And yes, Sean Porter's got miles on his clock, but he's still a very good fighter, still a really good fighter, still one of the division's top fighters. And even on a bad night, it gives fighters hell, you know? So it's a very, very big jump into the unknown as far as what has Conor learned enough to go into that kind of fight. So when Johnny says he beats him tomorrow or today or whatever, I think steady on a little bit, you know? But that's Johnny's opinion. We've all got opinions, you know? I just don't happen to agree with that one. I think that one's a little bit too soon. There are other fights out there for him that I think are great fights. Do you know what? He's called out Amir Khan. I would actually like to see that fight. And I don't think that's a bad fight for him, because Khan's not the Khan that he was. And it'd be interesting to see and he's got nothing to lose in that fight either. But I feel as though that could be a really good fight for him. Another fight that I think is a really good fight for him, for his development, to see, you know, fighting somebody that's tough, somebody that's obviously durable, that'll keep on coming, somebody that can punch, somebody that knows how to ride out those bad moments. Avanesian for the European, that's a great fight. You know, that is a great fight. So them kind of fights I wouldn't have a problem with, but I still think before, if he'd have had the rounds and experience a little bit out of Vargas, then yes, Avanesyan next, because he's got through that stage, having that sort of fight. I don't know if I'm explaining it well. It's all right fighting these guys that you think are going to give you a test, but if you blow them away easily, you've not experienced those moments that I think that you need to experience before you go into that tough sort of fight, that, you know, that kind of fight that you're gonna get at that level. Because there's kids that can give you a tough fight, a tough physical fight, and ask questions of you as you're coming through, but they don't have that top level knowledge in the ring. So when they make you, they maybe hurt you, they have you a little bit, you're running out of gas a little bit, the top guys don't let you off the hook. Whereas the guys that aren't on that level, they have their moments, but then those moments go and you can ride that. And that is where it's important for a young fighter to come to learn, have those questions. It's all right to get hurt. You've seen him before. He's been dropped, he's been hurt, but he's got through those moments. But when you're experiencing certain things of certain sort of levels, but you've not had the bridges to it, then you can get that happen to you. And those guys don't let you off the hook, and then the wheels come off, and then you get beat. And that's where the danger is when you're developing fighters. So I would still like to see a Samuel Vargas type of level of opponent before he went in against your bigger names, even before he went against Avanesyan. I'm saying that is a great fight, but if you're going to be calling out Sean Porter now, then fight Avanesyan before that. But which would be a great preparation for a Sean Porter type fight. But I do think he needs another like fight before he goes in with Avanesyan or anybody. But Khan, I like the fight with Khan, because we know that Khan, yes, he's a very a high quality fighter, but we know he's not the fighter he was before. We know that he can get hurt when he gets hit with clean with a good shot. But the same thing is, just like Conor Benn's got people shouting for him that are below him, and it's like, what do I need you for? The same thing can be said about Amir Khan, where Amir Khan's done all this, you know. Yes, you know, so he's not had a big win for a long time, but he's been fighting at top level against good fighters, top quality fighters. Does he want to take a risk and fight Conor Benn, where he's really not really got much upside? If he beats Conor Benn, then it's like, well, you're Amir Khan, you should beat Conor Benn, sort of thing. I don't know if he'd take that fight, to be honest.
And I was gonna say that, give the same example, where Amir Khan obviously wants to have another fight. At least he wants to obviously bow out soon. He hasn't got much left, as he said himself, and he put his tweet out to say, look, at the age of 25 I was already a world champion, good luck to the kid, but you know, he should kind of focus on his own kind of path. But we know Amir's call out.
That is his path. That is his path. Everybody in the game. It doesn't matter if you're a novice or a domestic champion or whatever. Everybody's looking to reach that next stage. But in order to reach that next stage, you need to use somebody else's standing and name that's above them to take their spot. So everybody's reaching. You know, Khan, when he's fighting Canelo and people like that, he's reaching, trying to take their status and stage. Everybody's doing the same. It's part of the sport, and it's what happens. You know, it's just the case of, do fighters, you know, that are up there, do they want to take that fight? Do they feel that it's, you know, worth it to them? Do they feel it's that easy, where they think it's easy money, or what, you know, what's their motivation for taking that fight? And if the motivation's there, then they take the fight. If not, they just turn around and say, I don't need you, see you later.
Dave, has Conor also proven, because you know there's a lot of pressure sometimes from media, also social media, about fighters, they want to see fighters jump straight in the deep end and take those big fights. Mm-hmm. Conor has developed and has improved massively since he turned.
Massive.
You know, he's had, 17, 18 odd fights now. You know, fighters need to understand that you don't need to have 8, 9 fights and start fighting for world titles or European titles. Take your time. If you're young, you've got time, and progress slowly, because eventually you'll get to those big names.
I don't think you can doubt his work ethic and his desire and his determination. And I rate him. I love his attitude. I'm a massive Conor Benn fan. But he's being guided really well, you know. Tony Sims in the gym, that the job that he's done with him in developing, when you look at how raw he was and how every outing that he's having, he's improving. You know, he has a tough fight, and then you see how much he learns and he develops from it. The work that's going on in the gym there, we're seeing the fruits of it on fight night. But then the management side of things, the way that they bring him through the right opponents, they're ticking all the boxes, they're doing a great job on him. And he's only 24. So there's still no rush yet to take the leap without the bridging fight. Like I said, Vargas on paper, yes, he passed that test, but he wasn't tested in it as a test. So I still feel he needs that kind of fight. Not for us to be able to say, oh yes, he's capable of doing this. For him, for his experience, for his knowledge in the ring on fight night, that's what you're soaking up by fighting these guys. And so, you know, I think he's been brought on a very good rate. You know, I think they've done a great job. It's just that temptation now. When you start blowing out a big, when it's that statement win, whoa, you can just all of a sudden take that step a little bit too quickly, or a little bit too large a step. And then not the wheels come, because if he gets beat, it's not the end of the world. Because I'm sure a lot of people thought it had been beat already by now anyway. But he's the kind of kid that I think that if he gets beat, he'd learn from it anyway and just come back better. He's handled the pressure and everything of being Nigel's son and all that. I think he handles it, everything really, really well. He's got such a great mentality that whatever comes at him, I think up here, he'll always handle it. That's not an issue. So it's just about how they want to, you know, if they just want to roll the dice and see what, you know, if it doesn't come off, all right, see what we need to work on, and then they come back again. Or, you know, I don't know. I think he could be a superstar if he's carried on to be developed at the right sort of pace. But for me, just not yet. He's 24 years old. He's 24. How good is this kid going to be in another year's time with those right fights? And then he goes in against your porters and people like that in a year's time. You know, get that fight out of the way where you're going to have the test. And then fight an Avanesian, and then you come through that, and then you fight a Porter, and you know they're the sort of steps I would think of. But again, it's only my opinion, and I've got nothing to do with them, so it's irrelevant, really, isn't it?
Dave, who would have thought 20 years ago we would see the son of Nigel Benn, the son of Chris Eubank,
it's mad,
the son of Ricky Hatton, and potentially the sons of Prince Nassim Hamed as well. So.
Fantastic. Crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. It means that we're getting old, mate. It means we're getting old. When you think that I remember Nigel Benn when he was coming through, and you know, way before he fought your Michael Watson and people like that, when he was coming through and he was raw. I remember that. I remember obviously I was there for Nasr's debut and coming through, and when then Ricky Hatton, and then you see that their kids are now. Campbell made his debut, but Conor Benn's like 17, 18 fights in, and we're talking about him, you know, breaking his world ratings and things like that. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. It really is.
Dave, I'll end on this. I know we've spoken about AJ Fury a lot over the last year or so. It looks like it's getting nearer. Both fighters are putting posts out on social media. Fury saying, you know, we've received some deals. AJ put something out yesterday as well. Eddie's spoken about it now as well. So it looks like the next 2 weeks are going to be crucial if this fight's going to be made, considering the time frame that's left now for July.
Yeah. It's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting that the fighters have started talking. I mean, you kind of like don't know which way it's going when 1 minute you're hearing from the Fury side that, you know, it sounds like it's not happening, and then next minute it is. I'll believe it when it happens, and when it's signed, sealed, venue, date, everything, then I'll believe it. But it's exciting because it sounds like it's very, very close. Sounds like it's real close, especially now both fighters in the last, you know, day or so have put out tweets saying that they've received offers now. That's good. That's good. And I can't see why this fight can't happen now. If all parties want the fight to happen, the fight will happen, regardless of how long's left and it's the clock's ticking down and things like that. It'll happen if they want it to happen. And that's, you know, and then we can talk about it, then we can speculate about who's going to win and all that sort of stuff. But right now, let's let them just get on with it and let them just get it over that line, because, you know, it's something that we need to see, you know, for a sport, we need to see it.
Well, we know, obviously, Jordan might be on that undercard because, obviously, Isaac Lowe and Jordan...
Don't know. Listen, it depends if Isaac Lowe would be interested in that fight. He is another one where sometimes he's on his socials, he's calling him out, calling him a pussy and telling him there's this, is that, and other his shit. But then next breath he's saying that he don't need him and he's going to go his route. And I don't know. We want the fight. We take the fight. We 100% Jordan wants the fight. We don't care. We'll take the fight. So if the fight don't happen, it's because Isaac Lowe and his management don't want it to happen. So it is what it is.
Okay. Thank you, Dave, for giving me a few moments of your time on Monday. I know you're
part. Cheers, Matt.
And I'm sure we'll catch up in due course.
Cheers, Matt. Thanks a lot.
Dave Colwell, IFL TV. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.